Imagine packing a whole bunch of the tools from a molecular biology lab, from a mass spectrometer to a DNA analyzer, packing them into an undersea robot, one that can both sample and analyze on its own at the bottom of the sea. Joining me now to talk about that is Bill Usler. He's a marine microbiologist at the Monterey Bay Research Institute. In 1987, David Packard, famous David Packard, who funded much of the lab's efforts, challenged it to find ways to bring back data, not the samples. We don't want samples. I challenge you to bring data back from marine expeditions, and this is part of that effort. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira.
So David Packard didn't want you to bring any worms back or anything like that.
Well, actually, we do bring worms back to learn more about them. But once we have information about them, we can use that to obtain imagery and look at their distribution on the ocean floor without having to collect samples.
Tell us what this instrument looks like.
Well, the Deep Sea Environmental Sample Processor, we call it the DESP, is a 1 meter diameter titanium sphere that's mounted on a frame. And the frame is what carries it down to the seafloor. Inside the 1 meter titanium sphere is an instrument that will collect seawater, filter it, and process that for DNA analysis.
And you do the DNA analysis right there.
That's right. That's what's really unique about this instrumentation is that we've adapted standard molecular biology techniques. And they typically require people to conduct them and various types of large pieces of equipment. We have re-engineered this and put it on the seafloor so it operates autonomously. And we have a program, which we call a mission, and we start that mission and we just go away and let it do its thing.
So it's currently sitting in the Monterey Bay?
That's correct. Right now we have a six-month-long deployment, and it's in Monterey Bay. Offshore, connected to our submarine cable network we call the Mars Cable, and that supplies power and data and communications with the device on the seafloor, and that allows us to interrogate it and receive data back, and also we even can update the computer code while it's sitting there, right from our desks.
So is this a way to find new species or what?
Okay, at this point right now, this is a proof of concept. And we're demonstrating that this technology actually works. What we'd like to do in the future is shrink this to 1/10 its size and make it mobile. And in the surface, we have a different group of instruments we just call ESP. Mm-hmm. And we're already adapting those for shallow water, that is less than 300-meter deep water, for doing surveys of the upper ocean. We don't have the analytical capability right now to detect new life forms. We can bring samples back, not according to the mantra that we were given, but that allows us to determine what it is that we should be looking for. In the future, it would be very nice to develop a strategy to detect the life and new types of DNA sequences without having any a priori knowledge.
Yeah. So this in the future, when you shrink it down and get it past the proof of concept, I'm sort of envisioning something like a Mars rover, but on the ocean floor.
That's true. That is a possibility, and we actually operate rover type technology just like you've seen on Mars. And our rover moves very slowly on the seafloor, and that's partly because of its size and the types of technology we're using right now, but there's no real restriction in terms of shrinking this type of device and turn it into a mobile facility that could perform exploration in a systematic and efficient way.
Mm-hmm. And what would you like to find? What would be the a material you'd like to find down there?
Well, it would be exciting to find new life forms, but in fact, what would be most interesting is to actually try and figure out why they're there. What are they doing? And that's really a significant sort of intellectual but also very pragmatic question, because microbes in the ocean control about 85% of the ocean chemistry, and the oceans are changing, and we'd like to understand what role the microbes will play in the changing ocean conditions.
That's fascinating. Let's talk about that a bit more. Microbes control 85% of the ocean chemistry.
That's correct. That's our estimate at this point.
In what way? Give me an idea and what you mean by that.
Well, the study that we just finished a few years ago was looking at methane oxidation. And so the seafloor, as many of you know, has methane vents on it. We call them cold vents. And methane is bubbling out of the seafloor. And other places, it's just diffusing out. It's a slow rate of release from the sediments where it's produced. And this is something that's a fuel. It's just like we cook our meals on stoves that use natural gas that's predominantly methane. And these microbes use this as an energy source in the water column, mm-hmm. and they act as a biofilter. So very little of that methane makes it all the way up to the surface. And so that is one way in which they control the chemistry of the oceans, by consuming the methane. Otherwise, we would have a methane-enriched ocean, and that would change the chemistry of the oceans, the extent that different life forms would live in it.
Mm-hmm. Could you find a spot with this technology that you could sort of lurk and wait for something to happen that you would like to see that's not happening at the moment?
Yes, we've actually done an experiment like that in 2011 at a ocean ridge system called the Juan de Fuca. It's offshore of Oregon. And there are cracks in the seafloor. It's a basalt seafloor, and there are vents where hot water comes out. But these are very ephemeral, and so you can sit and wait at one location and want to take a sample, but it may not be hot or flowing significantly. But these things are ephemeral, and so it may start up again. So we have experimented with ways of sitting and waiting and triggering sampling when the conditions are appropriate, such as, in this case, high temperatures.
Mm-hmm. And how long can it stay down there?
Well, right now we're running the system on batteries, which allow it to stay on the seafloor 4 to 5 days autonomously. When we connected the submarine cable, it's unlimited in terms of how long it can stay down on the seafloor. But the problem is simply we don't have submarine cables everywhere, and so that is a limitation. However, the U.S. is building a submarine cable infrastructure off of Oregon and Washington, and they have selected sites that are actually quite interesting for these types of experiments.
I'm Ira Flatto. This is Science Friday from NPR, talking with Bill Usler of the Monterey Bay Research Institute. Wait, are you saying that there's like a giant extension cord?
Yes. yes, exactly. It is under construction right now, and it has shoreside stations where the power gets sent out, the cables, and it forms a network, interconnected network, and there are nodes where science equipment is going to be installed. And those instrument packages have already been identified and being manufactured.
So there's really a big effort, at least in the Pacific Northwest there.
That's right. It's hundreds of millions of dollars are being invested in this seafloor infrastructure on the part of the National Science Foundation.
Mm-hmm. And it's a multidisciplinary effort, a lot of different people involved?
Yes, it's a multidisciplinary effort, a multi-institutional effort, and is just beginning to really start up, to become operational. Still going through some testing and validation of the system. But mm-hmm. once that's operational, then they will no time will be allocated on a grant proposal basis.
Mm-hmm. You know, the people are going to say times are tough. There are going to be people that say, great, sounds like an interesting experiment. Why spend the money on this? What practical effect is this going to have on my life?
Oh, in terms of building an infrastructure?
Yeah, like, and in terms of what you're doing with studying the microbiology down there?
Okay. In terms of the infrastructure, it gives us the opportunity to do experiments that we couldn't do before because of power and data limitations. And one of the really important things that we're facing, as a world, is understanding how rapidly the oceans are changing. And by having fixed points of observation, we can develop long-term time series, and we can look at trends in ocean temperature and ocean chemistry that will give us some guidance to understand how the oceans are responding to either natural or anthropogenic changes.
Mm-hmm. Now you're getting this network. You're going out and look at the microbiology. All we talk about these days is money in science. If I gave you a blank check, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
Well, I would do two things. The capability of our DPSP right now does not include gene expression. And what this is that it is a measure of how the actual genes are being expressed and utilized to make proteins and enzymes in a cell. And this is very important to understand basic microbial, what we call biogeochemistry. Mm-hmm. And the second part is then to take the ESP and this ability to look at gene expression and to couple it to a system where we can actually culture the bacteria that live in the ocean water and grow them and learn about their metabolism, what do they eat, mm-hmm. and what kind of dependencies they have on other organisms, and how might they respond to changes in the ocean. The submarine cable network really gives us a significant advantage because we can connect this type of system to a power source that's not going to limit the overall sort of integrated vision that we have for developing the ability to analyze genes and gene expression on the seafloor and conducting what we call culturing experiments or incubation experiments.
So what's your time scale for moving your lab out from the testing stage?
Well, it's ongoing right now. We have efforts to begin to shrink the ESP and develop a new generation of instrumentation. We are not at the point of developing gene expression assays and ability to do that, but we're getting close to that. And I just began some proof of concept experiments for culturing cells on the seafloor.
Wow.
So we're, this blank check question is simply, that would push things along even further. In fact, enable us to do things sooner. But that's the direction we're going in.
Well, good luck to you. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Okay, thank you.
Bill Usler, marine microbiologist at the Monterey Bay Research Institute. That's about all the time we have for this hour. Charles Berquist is our director. Our senior producer is Christopher Intagliata. Alexa Lim is our associate producer. Sam Flato is our production assistant. Manoli Weatherall is at the controls here in New York, spinning the dials. If you missed any part of our program and like to hear it again, point to any device you'd like over to our website. There are iTunes. We have video, audio, and video up there, Android apps, all kinds of stuff. You know how to reach us. We're up there all week. We're tweeting at SciFry, and we're on Facebook. If you like us on Facebook. I'm Ira Flato in New York.